Welcome to this Hulminster online service for Maundy Thursday evening. Welcome if you are joining us by video or audio through our website or on social media platforms. My name is Frank White. I'm the interim minister at Hulminster, and I'll be offering three short reflections within chapter 13 of St John's Gospel, which will be read by Bishop Allison, the Bishop of Hull. You may wonder where the name Maundy comes from. At the heart of John 13, which recounts the events immediately before Good Friday, is the call from Jesus, "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you." The word commandment in Latin is mandatum, which means Maundy in English. There are traditional Maundy Thursday activities and ceremonies which we're not able to offer at this service, including the sharing of Holy Communion and the washing of feet. Instead, we're offering a prayerful meditation on Scripture, which could be followed in our own homes by one Maundy Thursday tradition that we can keep. That's the keeping of the watch. Suggestions for this follow immediately after the service.
John chapter 13. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end.
Jesus loved them to the end. He is talking to the whole band of his disciples, and John wants his readers to know something special about the love in which they are all held. Loving them to the end is not a statement about time, but about the quality of Jesus' relationship with them. He loved them to the uttermost. He didn't limit his love. It reached out into every dimension of their lives. It gave a security and an identity which would eventually, after the trauma of the crucifixion, equip them to serve God with deep confidence and conviction. They no longer needed to bolster their confidence by competing with one another to sort out who was the greatest. That sad incident earlier in the Gospel story reflected a lack of confidence and an uncertainty about their identity. Being loved to the uttermost relieves us from the burden of lack of resources and gives us confidence to offer service to others out of the abundance of grace that God gives us. The events we recall in Holy Week invite us to experience this unconditional love of God all the more fully. St. Paul would write to the Romans, "If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" He loves us to the uttermost.
The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. You are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him, And for this reason, he said, not all of you are clean. After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe and had returned to the table, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. I am not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But it is to fulfill the scripture. The one who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I tell you this now, before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am he. Very truly I tell you, whoever receives one whom I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. After saying this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and declared, very truly I tell you, one of you will betray me. The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he was speaking. One of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So while reclining next to Jesus, he asked him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it is the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish. So when he had dipped the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. After he received the piece of bread, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, do quickly what you are going to do. Now no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the common purse, Jesus was telling him, buy what we need for the festival, or that he should give something to the poor. After receiving the piece of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night.
The drama in John's version of the Passion is building up through the interventions of Peter and Judas, both of whom would play major roles in the story which was unfolding. Judas went out, and it was night. Through the candle-lit gloom in that upper room, the figure who lived in the shadows slipped out into utter darkness. Judas had been tempted before and had stolen the money he had charge of. It was a particular temptation for Judas, and the offer of 30 pieces of silver was going to be too much for him to resist. This wasn't a one-off event. Jesus had been watching Judas, whom he also loved to the uttermost, and had seen him falling into temptation. But love does not influence by force or compulsion, but by invitation and respect. So Judas had become increasingly familiar with the darkness and less attracted by the light. This was a much bigger problem than the consequences of the weakness of this one man. The whole Passion story shows us the consequences of the life choices people make. Among them were the secular and religious figures who found it all too easy to condemn to death the one who came to bring life, life in all its abundance. Long before all this happened, the people of God, marching through the desert from Egypt, had been urged to choose life. This is the invitation Judas refused, but it still held out to all of us who will ponder the story of Jesus' passion and venerate the one who died on the cross.
When Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another."
It was a feature of life when these words were written that people identified themselves as disciples of this teacher or that prophet. When Jesus healed the man born blind, the question that the man, now seeing, asked those who interrogated him was this: "Do you want to be his disciples too?" It was a tongue-in-cheek question, and it received a predictable reply. "We are the disciples of Moses, and we know that God spoke to Moses." It was the ultimate way to honour somebody by becoming their disciple, to accept the disciplines of their life, to be the guiding principle of our own. And this was to be the distinctive feature of the lives of those who were caught up in the story of Jesus. The love which Jesus had forged in his short but eventful life would mark out those who followed him for all time to come. There's something about love which cannot be hidden, despite the fact that it's not wishing to draw attention to itself. Perhaps it's because it's the thing that we all need and that we most long for. It is what we see in the one who hangs on the cross and who reached out in his own greatest moment of agony to the man who had asked him a favour, to the thief who admitted that he was getting his just deserts. Jesus says, "This day you will be with me in paradise." Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all.
Simon Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterwards." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the cock crows, you will have denied me 3 times.
As we've concluded that reading from John chapter 13, and as we conclude this Maundy Thursday meditation, some of us might like to take the themes of John 13 into keeping the watch that we described at the beginning of this service. You could keep a set time this evening, maybe in silent prayer for half an hour on your own. You could pray following the three meditations and focus around thankfulness that you are loved to the uttermost, confession, where the temptations common to us all have taken a strong hold, prayer of intercession, that we all may reach out to our neighbours in loving service. However you use the watch, it's good for us to be there with Jesus in his agony in the garden. And in these challenging days, thank you for joining us in this short service, and may God bless us all as we continue in our prayer through this Maundy Thursday.